Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
You're watching the ESPN Tournament Challenge Marathon, presented by WebEx.
Yes, you are. It's because it is March Madness. And the meaning of that term took a little bit of a turn yesterday that we were not expecting. As we welcome you to hour number two of Get Up, live above the Heineken River Deck at Pier 17. The squad is ready, and we've got big news. Brady is back. After a retirement that lasted 40 days, Tom Brady said yesterday he is returning to the Buccaneers for his 23rd season in the NFL. The seven-time Super Bowl champion announcing his decision on Twitter and Instagram, saying he has unfinished business. Here's a piece of what he posted. Quote, "These past 2 months, I've realized my place is still on the field and not in the stands. That time will come, but it's not now. I love my teammates and I love my supportive family. They make it all possible. I'm coming back for my 23rd season in Tampa. Unfinished business, LFG. To that I say, OMG. Orlovsky's with us today. We'll have one of Brady's former teammates live in just a moment. But first, Graziano, I come to you. As this news sort of started creating all its ripple effects yesterday, would you say the reaction around the league was enormous surprise, or was this something people saw coming?
I think the reaction, people were surprised outside of Tampa Bay. I was told late last week that the Buccaneers were kind of hopeful, that they were optimistic that he might change his mind. So what happened is it seemed like his heart was never really in the retirement thing to begin with. Like right after he did it, he was doing those interviews with Jim Gray about never say never and all that, which we've talked about extensively on the show. But, you know, Jason Light, the GM, Bruce Arians, the head coach, they kind of kept in contact, and they sort of let it be known that, you know, if you change your mind, we'd still love to have you back. And Brady got to a point where he changed his mind. Whatever was going on in terms of looking at retirement and family life didn't seem as appealing to him as it did 2 months ago.
And the fact that this decision was made yesterday is not coincidental,
no.
Right? It was a very significant timing.
Right. In 3 hours, teams are allowed to start negotiating contracts with potential free agents, of which the Bucks have a lot. Yeah. Obviously, you can sign your own free agents before that time, and they already did bring back center Ryan Jensen on a three-year contract late last night. So Brady coming back is an asset to the Buccaneers in terms of trying to lure back some of the free agents that they want to bring back. Rob Gronkowski, obviously. Leonard Fournette, possibly. A couple guys in the secondary. Carlton Davis, the cornerback. Jordan Whitehead, the safety. So they have a lot of guys they want to bring back, and now they can say, hey, you know, we can run it back with Tom Brady one more time. He got a chance to win a Super Bowl.
Well, I mean, look, he's sort of a Pied Piper, or maybe a better put, you said it earlier today. He's kind of an assistant general manager. So we've got great insight all morning long from Dominique Foxworth and Dan Orlovsky. But right now, it is my delight to bring in the man himself, Rob Ninkovich, who played all those years with Brady in New England. He was the first person who said that Brady was going to retire. He said it's sitting right here. And you were right until yesterday. Ninko, what is your perspective on Brady's return?
Okay, so hear me out on this. Yesterday, I was doing the dishes, okay, and I was taking them out of the dishwasher, and I put them on the wrong shelf, and my wife was like, those don't go there, they go here, and I was like, okay, I got it. Well, then later in the day, I was doing bed sheets. I was taking them out of the dryer, and you know the hardest sheet to fold is the fitted bed sheet, okay?
Impossible.
And then I was instructed on how to fold it and where to put it, and then I thought, like, I think I'm going to come back this year. I'm going to play this year. I'm going to come back. 38 years old. I'm coming back. So, I mean, this might be an issue that Tom was going through. He took like 6 weeks. He was doing some stuff. And listen,
back to the NFL. I love it.
Dude, fitted bed sheets are tough to fold. You can't fold. How do you fold a fitted bed sheet? I ball it up. I throw it in the linen closet. That's it.
So, that's how.
Maybe, and listen, this is all set up real quick. I got a, you know, my Carhartt shirt on. Like, I wasn't supposed to be on, but we're going to talk about Tom Brady today because obviously he came back. And the reason that in my head, I knew he was going to come back. I didn't think he'd come back this quickly, and it's a head scratcher because now he's going to go through offseason, the whole thing, the OTAs, the mini camps, the training. I figured like week six he'd probably come back, but this one is. It's a little bit interesting on the timing aspect of it.
Well,
Nico, I think that that's
here's
one...
the thinking on the timing.
Yes.
And Graziano and I were just kicking it back and forth here as you were getting set to come on. And that is, if Brady comes back week six, the team that he comes back to doesn't look anything like the team he's going to have now.
Right.
Because by doing this now, all these guys, and this is where I want to hear your perspective, the Gronkowskis, the Fournettes, and all these other free agents, and maybe through the name Jarvis Landry out there a little bit earlier, all those guys, before they make their decisions, are aware that the most important piece is in place in Tampa. And so the timing from that standpoint, Ninko, makes a lot of sense to us. Do you think that's the thinking for Tom?
Yeah, I mean, it could be, but also, you know, I think that every season is different, and I can just speak about playing, you know, in my seventh or eighth season, and you get through, and you feel awful. Like, halfway through the season, you're telling yourself, there's no way I can play another year. I'm definitely retiring. So maybe this past season was tough for Tom with the AB thing and the way that they went out, and then he didn't feel great. So then he said, you know what? I'm good. I've done everything. I'm ready to retire. Well, then 6 weeks later, you're getting your massage work and you're getting everything. You're feeling good and you're like, you know what? I can still do this. I just threw for how many yards? I just threw for how many touchdowns? I'm still the best. I'm coming back. I'm doing it. And then obviously, I'm sure the coaches, I'm sure Bruce Arians was calling him every day. Listen, Tom, you still got this. Because who do they have at quarterback? They got nobody. So I think it's a timing aspect for free agency. You're still going to get guys that want to go to Tampa. Why? Because they have a chance to win a Super Bowl. So, you know, I think that that is probably another reason why, yes, he came back quickly. But another thing is just your mental state after a season ends. It's pretty tough when you lose the way that they lost. And I don't know how his physical body felt, but, you know, he probably didn't feel great, and then maybe that's why he decided to walk away.
Look, we all made the observation somewhat tongue-in-cheek, but more seriously than that, that the way he chose to announce his retirement just didn't feel like the end of anything. It felt much more like a placeholder than it did like a permanent goodbye to the greatest career in the history of the National Football League. So for that reason, among many others, this doesn't feel like the surprise it otherwise might have. Let me get Orlovsky into the conversation here if I can. So, Danny, you hear this, what exactly is this going to look like? By the end of this week, do you think that they put together the kind of team that will have Orlovsky on this show Friday saying, the Bucs are the team to beat in the NFC?
I do. I think this roster is going to look very different. And the main reason is because Kenny Golladay, the wide receiver for the New York Giants, who scored zero touchdowns last year, has a greater cap hit than Tom Brady will. I mean, that is shocking to me. And when this team now has the opportunity to bring so many of those pieces back, I think it's important for everybody at home to understand two things. One, this football team last year, given the age that they had and all the injuries that they dealt with, lost on the last play of the game to the team that won the Super Bowl in the Los Angeles Rams. Two, they don't have starting guards, plural, either guard, right guard or left guard. They don't have starters right now. Ali Marpet retired, and then Alex Kappa's a free agent. They don't have a starting tight end. O.J. Howard and Rob Gronkowski are free agents, and they don't have a starting tailback. Leonard Fournette and Ronald Jones are free agents. That being said, the fact that Tom Brady's cap hit is going to be $20 million is going to give them the opportunity to bring so many of those pieces back. And I can't imagine that Tom came out of free agency, or out of retirement, excuse me, and decided to play again without some prior conversations with their general manager, Jason Light, and understanding that those guys would come back on lesser deals.
In their division, as we know, Tom Brady has historically been in poo-poo divisions. It seems like he is going to be in another one where they should be able to dominate that division and get the one first-round bye going forward. So Tom Brady's in a great situation going forward. He's put himself in another great situation. And we talked about earlier, or at least I talked about, how he brings with him this basketball-like aura where he shows up and the team is about him. He also kind of, to me, feels like he is bringing that player empowerment to some degree, and that he has the power. You called him an assistant
GM, he absolutely has influence over this roster, and he has the power to make sure that they do the things that he wants them to do, because he could walk away at any moment.
He could. And to the point about the cap hit, right now it's about $20 million. They could lower that, right? They could extend out his contract. He's got three void years after this.
Lower
so room
20.
To do that, right, if they need to do that. And they do need to clear cap space. They're projected over right now, and they need to sign all those free agents.
And so, Nico, you know, we had a healthy debate, candidly bordering on everyone yelling at each other at the beginning of the show today about the impact that Tom Brady's contract has had historically on his success. The fact that he has always taken less money than a player of his caliber at his position would traditionally get, candidly less than most of the other great ones do get, and just how significant that has been to his unprecedented success. You were his teammate. You were there in New England all those years. I know Dominique and a lot of other people get upset when we bring this up, and I understand why, but at the end of the day, how significant do you think his willingness to take less money has been on all the success and all the championships that that guy has won?
I mean, it's a huge impact on the rest of your roster. And you look at all these teams around the NFL, look at the Rams and what they had with golf, and look at some of the implications that happen when you have a quarterback that's making north of $30, $40 million. I mean, the Dallas Cowboys, they're trying to renegotiate Dak's contract and extend him out a little bit more because of the fact that his cap number is where it's at, and they're trying to adjust it accordingly. So sorry about the sunlight, it just popped in. But, you know, as far as the cap number, you know, for him to go out, and the success and the track record and the Super Bowls and all that, the ability to go and build a roster out when your quarterback, the number one position, the most expensive position, is less than everywhere else, I mean, obviously that helps you win football games. So, you know, I think that... it's coming down on me. It's shining over me. So now, I don't know if you've ever seen the movie The Place Beyond the Pines. It's one of my favorite movies. And in this movie, have you seen this movie? So
no,
the only concern that I have.
Okay.
The only concern that I have is when you get away scot-free, and you're free as can be, you can go do whatever you want. And then you say, you know what? I got one more in me. I can go get it one more time. And guess what? It don't work out the way you anticipated it to work out in your mind. So I hope that Tom goes back and he accomplishes whatever he feels he needs to do, because there's only one team satisfied at the end of the season. There's only one team that can say, you know what? We're champions. So I just don't want him to keep searching for this thing, keep searching for it, because he's already done it. He's already been at the mountaintop. He's already done it more than anyone else. So at the end of the career, you just want to have the satisfaction of knowing you've checked off all the boxes. And right now, he doesn't have that. Obviously, he came back for a reason. So hopefully they can get it done. If they can't, then what's he going to say? I'm still not done. I'm not finished. I'm going to keep going.
I mean, I think that after
next
year,
he's still gonna do it.
After next year, there could be a nonstop flight from Tampa to San Francisco with his name on it if things don't go well for Trey Lance. Dan Orlovsky, let me come back to you then on another topic, because we are looking at an NFC where there were three teams that will feel as though, at least as of this moment, that they are sort of separated from everybody else: Tampa, Green Bay, and the Rams. Aaron Rodgers is coming back to Green Bay. We know that. We don't know what his contractual situation is going to be. Do you believe that the return of Brady places a different level of pressure on Rodgers and the Packers to figure out some way that contract is not prohibitive?
Absolutely. I had said last week that I thought there was nobody in the NFL that had more pressure on them this season than Aaron Rodgers. That certainly has been upped, and the urgency within this organization has been upped when it comes to the Green Bay Packers. And it starts today when the start of free agency. What are they going to do with their roster to make sure that it can compete against a team in Tampa Bay now that's going to be led by Tom and going to have a lot of talent back, and then also the draft? I've talked about it for months now. They need to mortgage their future in some ways and take some picks to invest in the now, because the reality was this. When Aaron came back to the Green Bay Packers, it was, well, it made sense because the NFC was going to be such an easier road for him to travel to get to the Super Bowl. That now is changed. This is a very much more difficult road, and I think the Packers, urgency-wise, or organizationally, is going to have to go to another level now that they have a new player in the game when it comes to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers with Tom.
Now, Nick, we can debate all we want about whether there should be this obligation or not, but the optics are going to be the optics one way or the other by the end of this week, yes?
No, well, as far as the roster is concerned, yes, they're going to be good. I think we focus on when people want to take a shot at Tom Brady, they say that they cheated with Deflategate or Spygate. It's just come to my realization now that the real cheating that he was doing was taking less money this whole time, making it artificially improving his roster because he was smart enough to marry a genius of a wife who could make enough money that none of this matters. I think Giselle should win the MVP next year.
Well, but here's the thing. I hear what you're saying, and people will give credit to the fact that, yes, he married a woman who has I think more money than he does and stands to do that. But NFL star quarterbacks make an extraordinary amount of money anyway and figure to be able to for the rest of their lives. So what I've been telling you for the longest time is if you choose to, you can view the money you're not taking as an investment. Because if you win a bunch of championships, the value of your name, your brand, your likeness, and all that kind of stuff, and this holds true for Mahomes and Rodgers and all of these guys, it grows exponentially.
You know what also helps is if your general manager does his job. So that's what it boils down to me. Is why is it always incumbent on the person who has sacrificed? Because frankly, all of these quarterbacks are worth more than they are getting paid right now because the salary cap exists. You're asking them to also, once again, take less. Why don't we pay GMs a ton of money so that they do a good job? That, to me, is where we should put our focus, not on the quarterbacks to take less money or any player to take less
money. Graziano, let me get him in. Go ahead, Doe Danny.
I mean, look, the team owners are not saying, hey, maybe we'll take 90% of what we can get in the TV deals because it'll help if we get it somewhere else. You know, not everybody's like trying to balance their household budget here. I mean, this is big money, but the league has big money. The teams have big money. It's not like, you know, Ninkovich spent too much on fitted bed sheets. He can't buy window shades. I don't know what happened there. But you can afford it. The salary cap is different from the cash outlay, right? Aaron Rodgers' cap number will not be the money he made. Tom Brady's cap number last year was far less than the amount of money he made last year, and I think that's what's important for people to understand.
So creative accounting is what you're suggesting.
Creative
cap management.
Right. You say it's a hard cap. It's not that hard. A cap. Like you can dance
from
around
from year to year. You can use money, push money around.
Orlovsky, jump in here. Go.
Yeah, I notoriously took less money than star quarterbacks as well to win championships.
Good job.
Team trooper.
I think it's important to point out, like, the reality is this football team has a lot of holes in Tampa Bay and a lot of unknowns and a lot of question marks. And while I'm crazy excited like Dom was, and I think that they're going to get a lot of these deals done, we don't know until free agency hits. And Dom knows it, and Ninko knows it as well. You as a player can have a thought process of what free agency is going to be. Like Alex Kappa, their starting guard. And then a team comes in and throws another X amount of million dollars on, and you just go to your agent and say, hey, I got to go and get my money. So while I'm excited and I think that they're going to get this done, this is a team that may not get some of those guys back. And then they're not sitting at the top of the NFC. And then we're having a very different conversation about them. They don't have starting guards right now. They don't have starting tight ends. They don't have starting tailbacks. So it's a lot of pressure on Jason Light to get this done now that I'm sure he, in some ways, talked to Tom Brady out of retirement. But it puts a lot of pressure and urgency upon the Packers and the Rams as well to be important in this week.
Right.
So, Ninko, give me the right now the rankings as we approach free agency week, which, again, hasn't started yet, right? Legal tampering hasn't even started yet, and then we get free agency in reality on Wednesday, and then we have the draft in April. So all this is going to get reshuffled to some degree. But as of right now with Brady's return, rank for me right now, Ninko, in your opinion, the top three teams in the NFC in order. Who are they?
Oh, man, that one's tough because I think Tampa, depending on their free agency and how they shake out this offseason, they might not be what we anticipate them to be. So I'm not going to say that Tampa is going to be number one on this list. You know, first of all, I think that you look at the Rams and, you know, they just won the Super Bowl. So to me, you know, they're still my number one. They're the champions. They're number one on my list. So then you look at the Packers and what they're going to be with Aaron Rodgers. They're going to be just where they've been at every single year because they got Aaron Rodgers. They're going to be competitive. They're going to be up there on the top of this list. I think Tampa, even though they have Tom Brady back, they're not even third. They're not even fourth. So I really think that this offseason, just like Dan talked about, is going to be massive on how do they fill the holes. Because the last time I checked, Tom Brady is not a scrambling quarterback. He's got great pocket presence, but they got beat by the Rams because they couldn't stop them from getting hit. Tom was getting bounced around the pocket. So if they don't figure out what they're doing at guard, if they don't figure out what they're going to do at tight end, if they don't figure out how they're going to make their, sorry, my dog just hit my camera.
It's okay.
If they don't figure out what they're going to do, yeah, well, the dog's in here. I got the kids all day today. My wife's not here. This is a feng shui thing. We're trying to do like natural light, okay? Trying to do natural light. So for as far as your list goes, I don't think they're in the top five right now in the NFC. Sorry to name
them all. Under pressure. Well under pressure from you, man.
But back to that pesky list we've asked you for. Between the sunlight and the dog.
There's the dog.
Oh man, you cheated. You cheated. You came with the dog.
There's no one who doesn't love the sun and the dog, so we're all good. Nico, stand by. We have much more to do as we could. Oh, by the way, the NCAA tournament has begun. The brackets are set, so now what winds up happening? We've got your back covered. We'll tell you about all the upsets in the first round and the final four and the champions and everything else as we break down your sheets of integrity with you. And we will not stray far away from our top story. We'll tell you why Brady's return could mean headaches for other NFC contenders. We are rolling along despite the challenges. Get up on ESPN.
Oh, goodness.
Dell Tech Fest starts now. To thank you for 40 unforgettable years, Dell Technologies is celebrating with anniversary savings on their most popular tech. For a limited time only, save on select next-gen PCs like the XPS 13 Plus, where you can make the everyday easier with Windows 11. Unleash more possibilities with cutting-edge systems, their most advanced features, and great prices. Plus, curate your dream setup with deals on select monitors, mice, and more must-have electronics and accessories. When you shop online at Dell.com/deals, you'll have access to state-of-the-art technology to match your forward-thinking spirit and free shipping on everything. Anniversary savings await you for a limited time only at Dell.com/deals. That's Dell.com/deals.
Hey, Dominique, did you see what happened yesterday? So the Memphis Grizzlies are playing the Oklahoma City Thunder. There's the superstar, John Morant. But as he's ready to take the floor, you notice a problem here?
Max, SDA doesn't like it. He figured it out.
We got 10 players on the starting lineups all wearing the same jerseys. That can't happen. Here's the ref.
We will postpone the start until Memphis can get the right jerseys on.
Yeah. Not what you want.
Gotta go in and change. In a related story, Memphis wound up winning the game after changing their uniform. I've never seen that happen before. All right, as we continue, we know the big winners in Tom Brady returning are the Bucks and their fans. Who are the biggest losers? Maybe their NFC rivals. We'll talk about that in a moment. And we'll see how Uncle Seth does against Sneaky Hembo. What was the last team to win the national title the year after finishing as runner-up? That's the question. The answer's next. Get up on ESPN.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use the code 5HETRAVEL at 5HourEnergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only, not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HourEnergy.com and use the code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
On the busiest Monday of our year, I interrupt the regular proceedings because I insist we talk about golf. Because this just happened. Remember, they're playing the final round of the Players today because of rain and all sorts of other weather this weekend. This is Victor Hovland on 8. And that is an ace. And that puts him 4 shots off the lead. And look, we got a little hijinks back on the box. One way or another, Hovland very much in the mix as we go. Meanwhile, here's a man who's never made a hole. You have a hole-in-one in your lifetime, Seth Greenberg, yes
I'm
or no?
I'm 0 for a hole-in-one.
Yeah, me too.
I knocked it in the drink, not in the hole.
Yeah, it's another thing that we have in common besides our last name. All right, so Gonzaga's the number one overall seed. They're going to try and win the championship after losing in the title game last year. Seth, what was the last team to win the title the year after finishing runner-up?
I think I got this one, Hembo. I mean, it's got to be a team that's gone to the Final Four back-to-back years. It's got to be Duke.
Duke is incorrect. It has happened more recently than that. North Carolina did it. Remember when they lose to Villanova on that last second shot and then they came back and they won the championship the following year. Carolina is the right answer. Score that one for Sneaky Hembo. In the meantime, we continue with this. We'll get back to Brady in just a moment. But look at this. We're at almost 4 million, and that is just the very beginning. Sign up right now. Play the ESPN Tournament Challenge. Download the app. I'll give you all the particulars on that in just a moment. Meanwhile, Seth, while I have you, let's go through some NCAA tournament superlatives. Which is the number one seed you are most confident in?
It's Arizona. When I look at Arizona, they play at warp speed. Terrific passing team. They've got dynamic wing players in Terry and obviously Benedict Mathurin. Inside, Kristen Koloko is a mountain masquerading as a man. This team defends. They score easy baskets in transition. They share the basketball, and they've got a lottery pick on the wing of Benedict Mathurin. I'm very confident in Arizona, and I also like their seed. I think that they match up well with Illinois. I think they'll handle Tennessee the second time. Remember, the first time they played Tennessee, it was at Tennessee.
All right, how about the reverse? Who's the most vulnerable, one or two?
I think it's Auburn. Just Auburn, the way they're playing right now. If you think about the SEC tournament, I mean, Katie Johnson was 0 for 14. I would have stopped when I was 0 for 10. Their guard play has not been consistent. That's just the way it is. They've turned it over. The shot selection hasn't been good. They've got maybe the number one pick in the draft in Jabari Smith. They got to get him the ball more often. And for some reason, this Auburn team has not committed like most Bruce Pearl's teams are on the defensive end. I think Auburn, because of their inconsistent guard play, is vulnerable.
All right, and then finally, give me a dark horse, someone who's not a one or a two that you think could make the Final Four.
Yeah, I love this Iowa team. I love this Iowa team because Keegan Murray can have a Kemba-type run in the NCAA tournament. He's 6'8". He gets off the bus. He's dropping 25, but a good night to get 30 or 35. He's efficient. He knocks down threes. He can get to the offensive glass. He can play in isolations. He runs the floor. And it's not just right now Keegan Murray. I think this Iowa team has improved defensively. They share the ball. They make shots. They have great flow to their offense. And they make you react to them with their defense by changing their defenses. I really like Iowa.
Yeah, they were good all year, and they got red hot the last couple of weeks, or a week in particular, and won the Big Ten tournament. So, are you putting them all the way in your Final Four? For those just joining us, who will be the last four standing, Seth?
Zags, Kentucky, Iowa, and Arizona. And, Gonzaga, obviously, you look at their team. Can they finish it? There's not a Baylor in this tournament that could dominate in the backcourt. But there is an Arizona, and Arizona is like Gonzaga 2.0. Obviously, Tommy Lloyd, the former assistant coach, to Mark Few. I think there won't be any secrets. And this Arizona team, to me, is just a little bit different. Kentucky's explosive in transition can be a little inconsistent. Arizona is not inconsistent. Iowa, obviously, with Keegan Murray, is dangerous. But Arizona's got more guys than dangerous. They got Turbellis. They got Mathurin. They've got Koloko. They've got Terry, who's an elite defender. This Arizona team, they score easy baskets in transition, off the bounce. They defend you. They protect the rim. They've got depth in their front court. Arizona cuts down the net.
Arizona is your national champ. So says Seth Greenberg. Get on and start logging in and filling out your sheets of integrity. Seth will check in tomorrow. Thank you very much. Meanwhile, last night we also had the reveal of the women's field of 68. And here is a look at the women's bracket. South Carolina, which was ranked number one throughout the season, is the number one overall seed. The other one seeds include the defending national champion Stanford, along with Louisville and NC State. And so another reminder, ESPN Tournament Challenge brackets are now open. Download the ESPN Tournament Challenge app. You can fill out both your men's and women's brackets. The men's bracket closes Thursday noon Eastern. The women's Friday 11:30 a.m. Eastern. So choose wisely. Get in there. Fill out your sheets of integrity and let's see where we go. Now, back to our top story of the day. Tom Brady is coming back. So, Mike Tannenbaum, let's go stock up, stock down. Right now, give me who we got stock up on right now in Tampa.
Tampa Bay's Buccaneers, because of Tom Brady's contract, I think they're going to bring back a whole bunch of guys, Green, starting with Jensen last night, their center. Look for other guys like Rob Gronkowski, Leonard Fournette, and now even maybe a player like a Jarvis Landry. He wants out of Cleveland. Maybe he's the one that replaces Antonio Brown. Tampa Bay Buccaneers, if I'm buying stock, I'm buying today. It's cheap. By the end of the week, it's going to be more expensive.
How about the Cowboys? What's the value of their stock?
Stock down, Greedy. By the end of the week, unfortunately for them, they could be missing Lyle Collins, a really good starting right tackle. We see Amari Cooper, who's being traded. When we think about the other side of the ball, they could lose to Marcus Lawrence or Randy Gregory. Gregory. So, as you said 2 years ago, that Zeke Elliott contract is killing this team right now, and their stock is down.
Now, there's nothing they can do about that one. How about the Packers? Stock up or stock down?
Stock down, Greeny. Aaron Rodgers is on the precipice of signing a massive contract extension. They could lose somebody like Za'Darius Smith, Billy Turner, a really good starting guard, Randall Cobb, a wide receiver. Now, they just did re-sign Preston Smith this morning. That helps. But when you look at the bigger picture, this team won't be as good on Friday as they are today.
All right, so that's a really interesting perspective on it, because I feel like those are the three, well, the Rams in that mix as well, that sort of separated themselves. But, Dan, as you hear this conversation, Dan Orlovsky, what are your thoughts? If the Buccaneers, do they feel like they're trending in one direction and the other two powerhouse teams there in the NFC maybe going the other way?
Well, we're hopeful for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers because, one, we know the contract number for Tom Brady, and we believe that a lot of those free agents are going to come back that they have, given Tom has made his decision. I think it's a little bit silly, Mike T, to say that the Packers' stock is down because we don't know what Aaron's contract is. Aaron's contract could be very similar to what Tom. Now, if Aaron's number comes out and it's significantly greater and hinders their ability to do it, then that's a different conversation. I still think Tampa Bay has to figure out the offensive line and find a wide receiver. I would tell you very similar things for Green Bay. I think Green Bay has to get another wide receiver. They don't have a second wide receiver right now outside of Davante Adams. He has said this morning he's not playing on the franchise tag. They've got Alan Lazard, their number two receiver, as a free agent. Their number three receivers and Equanimeous St. Brown and Valdez Scantling, they're all free agents. So I think that given the unknown of Aaron's contract, we got to see what that number is and what they can do to re-kind of build their football team to sit here and say whether we think it's going to be Green Bay or Tampa Bay as the top dog.
There has been an expectation that Rodgers was going to reset the quarterback market. Mike T, my question to you is, can he get huge money and still structure it in such a way that from a cap standpoint, it isn't prohibitive as you are projecting?
Absolutely. They can give him a massive sign bonus somewhere over $70 million. It bears repeating that in the last 4 years of Drew Brees' career, the Saints had the best record in the NFL by pushing out cap charges. So they could certainly do it. With that said, it's still a zero-sum game. So the more the pie he takes, some of those players will graduate, but they can minimize the impact of that because of the structure.
How about it, Dominique? As we stock up, stock right. down, how do you see it?
Yeah, I mean, I think we're to Dan's point, we don't know what that's going to be, what's going to happen. There are going to be changes on all these rosters. Aaron Rodgers, when you have Aaron Rodgers, you have a chance. When you have Tom Brady, well, not everywhere, yeah. but it seems like in recent history, you have Tom Brady, you have a chance. Sure. So I think both of those teams are looking good and excited about what they have in front of them, particularly in the NFC. And they're both in divisions that they should walk away with 5 or 6 wins.
Yeah.
Maybe the Saints rise up and give Tampa a problem as they have in recent history. But they're in good shape to be only concerned about each other, frankly, going forward.
Ninko, let me ask you here about the Brady factor, the Pied Piper factor, if you will, as one who was his teammate for a long time. We're sitting here wondering if some players out there might be interested in taking a little less money than they might in some other places. Mike T, I think it was, who brought up the idea of a Jarvis Landry, who is got permission now to try and find a new team. Would that be a spot he goes? Do you think that Brady brings people with him just by virtue of being Tom Brady?
Yes, of course he does. But you have to also remember that they have just won a Super Bowl. So some of the guys that have already won with Tampa, they might start to think, okay, I've already won last year. Now I want to go get paid. I need to go get my money, because at the end of the day, you only have so many bites of the apple in the NFL. You're not in the league forever. It's a short career. So, you know, you look at the running back position. If you're Fournette and you're like, okay, I've already won a Super Bowl, now it's time to go get paid accordingly. And Gronkowski, he's already done that. He's been there, done that. So I know he's already said Tom Brady's going to be the only one throwing him touchdown passes. But at the end of the day, it comes down to your contract and how much you're making. So a lot of these guys that have already been there, like Jensen, maybe he goes out and tests the market. And if somebody's going to pay him substantially more, I think he goes off and he goes and makes that money. He's already won a Super Bowl. So guys that are outside of Tampa, guys that are looking to win now, especially if you're a receiver, yeah, of course, I'll take a little bit less to go down and play with Tom Brady. This is his last year, his last hurrah. Let me go help them win a Super Bowl. So I think offensively from other teams, yeah, you'd be interested. I think you've already been there and won a Super Bowl. You're probably looking to go make as much as you can.
Go ahead, Orlovsky.
I don't think Tom Brady came back unless he's had those conversations with Jason Light and anticipated a lot of those guys already having their answer. You know, I don't think Tom Brady came back with the unknowns of all those players. I'm not going to say that they're going to keep everybody, but he didn't come back to lose all those free agents and play on a team that has absolutely no shot.
Yeah, Nico, maybe that is an interesting point. Knowing him as you do, would you anticipate that while the rest of us just found out yesterday that he's coming back, that he has had at least some conversations, not just with the general manager, but with other players in particular about teaming up?
Yeah, I mean, Tom's always working and he's out there trying to figure. I mean, look, when they had the whole lockout thing, or not even before the lockout, he was organizing practices up at college when we were all not able to come into the facility. Last year during the pandemic, he's renting and going out to parks where they say, listen, you can't come out to this park. You can't be close to all these people. He's like, okay, I didn't know that. So I wouldn't put it past Tom to be reaching out and to be having, some talks with people like, hey, listen, I'm retired, but I'm feeling pretty good. Maybe I'll be back this year. So now that he is back, I'm sure that there's going to be interest from people like, hey, okay, I'm going to go play with Tom. But, you know, again, the league's all about how much you can make in the short amount of time that you've been there. So, and then also Tom's mentality. Yeah. Tom is very much so a competitor and saying, I'm the guy. So I can make this work with second string guys. Okay, bring them in. I'll work with them and I'll help them develop their careers. They'll be better because of me. So, you know, I think Tampa's in a much better spot now than they were 2 days ago.
Oh, well, clearly. And Nick, how about that? There was a moment in time, I recall, a generation ago when San Francisco was the place that ring chasers would go. I don't mean that in a negative way. Guys later in their career who've made some money, the opposite of what we're talking about. It feels like Tampa could be that place now.
Yeah, it could be, but it's hard to be a ring chaser in football because the point that Ninko made, careers are so short. And I think that to find guys that are at a point in career where they are comfortable financially and also still effective on the field, it's hard to find those guys. But if they're looking for a place to go, I'm sure Tom Brady has called them, has relations with all of them, and Tampa is probably high on that list.
I need to do one more thing because I'm going to lose Ninko after this. Rob Ninkovich, can we get a one-shot on him, Chrissy? Could you just give us an imitation of Gronk's reaction yesterday when Brady announced to the world he was coming back?
Yo, Tom, what's up? What's up, baby? Yeah, you want to throw touchdowns still? To me? In the red zone? Oh, yeah, baby. Yo, we're going to be beasts. Yo, we're going to be beasts out there. Yeah, Tom, yeah. I'm in. Yeah. More touchdowns, baby. Yeah, let's go, baby.
Well done.
Way to go, Nico.
Yeah. Awesome. Say hello to the dog and the kids and everybody else. Thank you for jumping in unscheduled today. Rob Ninkovich, outstanding. Meanwhile, as we continue, we expected Brady and Rodgers to meet in the NFC title game last year. Now that Brady's back, will that happen this year? Neek has that answer next.
You're watching the ESPN Tournament Challenge Marathon, presented by WebEx.
Delicious, meat nutritious, in the snack that packs a real protein punch. Wonderful pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Wonderful pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you're on the go a lot, taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries. Well, the good news is, not only are wonderful pistachios a complete protein, providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut, or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snacking game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more.
I don't know the question you're trying to ask. It'll
be better tomorrow.
I'm not answering this. That's a clown question, bro.
Next.
Mike, why are you in such a bad mood?
What do you care?
What else do you want to know?
Next question.
I'm not going to answer any questions for you.
Answer my question! The question, jerk!
We've been running that open for 2 years, and every time I find something else about it that I like the most. Anyway, I've got a bunch of hard-hitting, provocative football questions for Dominique Foxworth, whether he's ready or not, and here we go. First question, how confident are you on a scale of 1 to 100 that this will be Tom Brady's final season?
Zero. Like, I mean, Tom Brady may never retire. I mean, realistically, he's going to have to age out at some point. But when he retired, you and I were one of the few people who were like, no, he's coming back. I don't know what it is about him, but we knew that he was coming back. I don't see him retiring just yet because I do believe that the next documentary that he's coming out with is going to end with him playing in San Francisco.
I totally agree. I was about to say, I don't even think this is the last year or the last team
right,
I'm that
with-
he will play for. All right, next. How many, give me a number, how many more Super Bowls is Tom Brady going to win?
Okay. Zero.
Oh.
I mean, so I know that Tom Brady defies logic, but every now and then my brain sneaks in and says, this man has been to 10 and won 7. The idea that he's going to be able to go to and win another, to me, feels outrageous. Like, he's won more Super Bowls than, it seems like, yeah, most franchises.
Yeah,
it's ridiculous. He's not going to keep doing it. At some point, he has to be, what is he now, 45?
He will be 45 in August.
At some point, his arm is also going to be 45. Maybe it's not until his body is 85, but at some point, his arm will age.
Hembo, I have this right. He's won 7 Super Bowls. No franchise has, right? He has won more Super Bowls than any franchise in the NFL. If there was a franchise called the Bradys, they would be the winningest franchise in Super Bowl history. All right, so we got Rodgers, we got Brady. Which one of the two do you think is likelier to make the Super Bowl this year?
Okay, I'm coming with back-to-back fire for you. You're going to get angry, so don't slam your glasses. They look expensive. I'm going to go with Aaron Rodgers.
Oh, my God.
I'm going with Aaron Rodgers because I do believe that how good that the Packers have been in back-to-back-to-back seasons, like, it matters. At some point, the playoffs is a random sample. Like, it's one-game sample, so it's somewhat random. At some point, the randomness has to come up on their side. They have not lost to teams that have been better than them every season. At some point, the randomness is going to play in their favor. I am not a believer that Aaron Rodgers is some sort of playoff choker. That's the only other argument that you can pose, is either he's a choker or sometimes the randomness of football comes up and bites them. It's my belief that they will be on the right side of the randomness this season.
As I bring the rest of the squad in here, you know what's not
came in a jump.
You know what's not random or a small sample? Tom Brady's 22 years in the National Football League and the 10 Super Bowls you just pointed out that he made. What do you think, Tannenbaum, of who gets to more likely to get to the Super Bowl this year? Brady or Rodgers?
It's Tampa, and it's logic, because take someone like Jarvis Landry. He may be the X factor. The margin between those two teams is so small. If we put ourselves in Jarvis Landry's shoes, when we talk about weather, state income taxes, role, to me, it's just a better situation. So when the margins are so small, it's a player like him that could tip the balance.
Graziano, Rodgers or Brady more likely to make the Super Bowl this year?
I want to say Rodgers, even though I don't want to get fooled by that again like I was this past year. I think, like, look, but there's already news. Preston Smith re-signing with the Packers a few minutes ago.
Right.
So that they're trying to keep their team together. We're going to know more about this question a week from now when we see how these rosters have shaken out in free agency. In the meantime, I'll go with Rodgers.
So you're going Rodgers over Brady based on the Rodgers factor or the Packers versus the Bucks factor?
No, I'm going based on the Rodgers factor. And I do think that, obviously, Tom Brady is a great quarterback. Oh, we got Dan Orlovsky.
The crazy day. Danny, Rodgers or Brady, you got to bet that palatial estate of yours in Connecticut on one or the other making the Super Bowl this year. Which one you got?
Yeah, I have the smallest and poorest house in our town, Greeny, okay? I'm going to say Matthew Stafford, first of all. Graziano, you were right.
I know my guy.
Danny,
I'm going to
just cut you off quickly.
I'm going to say Rodgers.
Graziano said before you came on, he's going to say Matt Stafford, even though that isn't one of the options in the question.
Some things are predictable, some things are not.
He's as good at sneaky Hembo and not so sneaky Orlovsky. That said, Dan, back to you. Sorry.
Some people are consistent, Graziano. That's all.
Okay.
I'm going to say, I'll say Rodgers. Rodgers. I think Rodgers' cap number is going to be significantly less than Mike Tannenbaum believes it's going to be. I think he is going to follow the steps of Brady and take less money than so many people are anticipating. It's going to allow them to have a much healthier roster, a championship caliber roster. And I agree with Dom that at some point, really good football teams play their best ball when it's necessary. Certainly players do as well. And I'm banking on Matt LaFleur to get one finally done this year.
Can I just very quickly, they have to get under the salary cap, yes. All teams, yeah. By Wednesday afternoon. So we will know Rodgers' numbers by that time,
100%. Yes? The structure, the cash flow, Wednesday at 4 is the deadline.
All right, so all the wondering we've been doing will come to an end Wednesday. We'll see what it is. Meanwhile, our featured NHL game is tomorrow on ESPN+. Panthers, they lead the East. They're in San Jose to play game 2 of a 7-game trip against the Sharks. 10:30 Eastern to get ESPN+. Go to ESPNplus.com or download the ESPN. Coming up, just as the reality was that he was retired, was sinking in, Tom Brady is back. What do we think of it? Well, Molly, Stephen A. Orlovsky, and Lewis Riddick will answer that. Top of the hour here on ESPN.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
We'll have a special NBA Monday doubleheader on ESPN in the app tonight. We got Nikola Jokic against Joel Embiid. That's a phenomenal matchup of the two leading MVP candidates, followed by the Jazz and Donovan Mitchell against Giannis and the Bucks. Our coverage starts tonight. NBA Countdown, 7 Eastern on ESPN. Who we got winning the championship in college basketball?
Maryland, they're going to let them back in the tournament, and they're going to win it.
I know it's not my school.
All right, we're Kentucky. Jumping over to radio in 60 seconds, coast to coast. But right here, First Take starts now.
The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.